From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program, a very special edition of Capitol Connection today, Nebraska Family Alliance's weekly radio show. We're all about connecting you to the Capitol and keeping people up to date on issues pertaining to faith, family, and freedom. And that is the case today, as I have a representative from our United States Congress with me on the show today to talk about his efforts to better protect the sanctity of human life and ensure that your tax dollars are not funding abortion. This is a key policy issue that more people need to be aware of. An important new pro-life bill has recently been introduced in the United States House called the No Abortion Bonds Act, which seeks to close a loophole that has allowed abortion providers to use federal tax-free bonds to build their facilities and essentially give tax breaks to organizations for building abortion clinics. I'm very pleased to have joining me now to talk about this the introducer of the No Abortion Bonds Act, Congressman Robert Pittenger of Charlotte, North Carolina, speaking to us from out in Washington, D.C. Congressman, it's great to have you on the show.
Good to visit with you.
Congressman, my understanding is that tax dollars are prohibited from being used for abortion, and yet it appears millions of dollars worth of tax-exempt bonds have been issued to finance the construction of abortion clinics. How did you become aware that this was happening?
Well, as we studied the tax code, you know, we just passed our tax bill yesterday, but as we went through it, we identified this loophole in the tax code that allows for abortion providers to finance their new clinics with tax-exempt and taxpayer-backed bonds.
So you became aware of this, and you know, this is in the tax bill that you just mentioned. There's a lot of issues. What gave you the motivation, out of all the things you could work on, to try and bring something to the table that could address this loophole?
Well, it's something I'm pro-life to begin with, and you know, these tax bonds are intended to support, you know, our roads and schools and hospitals, not abortion clinics. And so, if a state or local government issues these bonds, that they would be in essence exempt from the federal tax, and also obviously they're guaranteed by the taxpayers. Recent surveys have shown that the large majority of American people do not support the federal government supporting abortion.
Well, I know the Nebraska Family Alliance and state-based family policy groups from across the country were glad to lend their support for your bill. But is closing this abortion loophole something you think both pro-life and pro-choice people could be able to support?
Oh, sure. We have every major pro-life group involved in supporting and endorsing what we're doing. Every pro-family, pro-life group is involved with us. So we feel a lot of encouragement. We have 85 or 90 co-sponsors in the House already on this bill, and so we've got good momentum.
Congressman Pittenger, you've described your bill as carrying out the spirit of the Hyde Amendment, which I think is a good depiction. So in your mind, how does the No Abortion Bonds Act accomplish what the Hyde Amendment is supposed to ensure?
Well, the Hyde Amendment states that there will not be any federal funding used for abortion. And so we are taking that in the full extent to the fact that there shouldn't be these bonds that would be allowed to be used as well.
And Congressman, you mentioned how this bill has already gathered close to 100 co-sponsors, and you have the backing of the largest pro-life groups from across the country. Why was having the support of pro-life groups like the Family Policy Alliance and even the Nebraska Family Alliance all the way out here in Nebraska so important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we want to show to the Congress, to the American people, that this is important. This is on our mind and heart, and federal dollars in any manner or form should not be used to facilitate abortion. And for a clinic like in New York City, they were able to renovate a building using the $15 million of bonds, and that they had utilized this loophole, along with another $15 million that they had in equity. And they refurbished the building. Then, frankly, 3 years later, they sold it for $60 million. So federal money was used to facilitate, or federal tax ability was used to facilitate building of this facility.
Well, one of the biggest debates recently has been defunding Planned Parenthood, and it was a major promise of Republicans across the country. I'm imagining while you've gotten support of all the pro-life groups that you're getting some substantial pushback from the abortion industry on this.
Oh, my goodness, yes. They're squawking and squealing as always, but the principle is there. And, you know, I've opposed abortion. I'm supported by North Carolina Right to Life and National Right to Life and many other groups. But they have allowed, they've been allowed to utilize this loophole. We want to make sure that no longer will this federal loophole be in a position to assist building their facilities.
And Congressman, what are you expecting next? Can you give us any sort of insight on when we might see some movement on your bill?
Well, we hope to have interest first quarter next year to take it to committees and work through the committee process and then take it to the floor. We believe that this is something that warrants the commitment and interest of the leadership and the full Republicans, and we have one Democrat involved as well, but your own congressman in Nebraska, Jeff Fortenberry, he's one of our sponsors of this bill.
Well, we're very proud of our congressman here for supporting pro-life measures. And Congressman Pittenger, how do you think we can keep advancing the pro-life cause in the United States, especially as the country becomes so increasingly divided?
Well, you stand for truth and principle. You know, for many years, for decades, that is, Margaret Thatcher worked to defeat socialism, to defeat communism. She was tenacious. She was focused. She was unending. And, you know, you think of people like Phyllis Schlafly, who led our pro-life movement, and so many others, Beverly LaHaye, and many people out there in the National Right to Life. We must stay focused and clearly committed to preserving life in all forms.
And as you mentioned, your faith and standing for family values are things that are very important to you. You even host a weekly Bible study with members of Congress, I understand, and you serve on both the Pro-Life Caucus and Prayer Caucus. Why are those life-affirming principles and faith and family values so central to you and in your service to our country?
Well, I came to Christ as a senior in college, and from that point, after that time, I served 10 years on the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ, and that worldview centered in a relationship with Christ and a biblical worldview is what is the focus of what I do. So clearly, policies that I embrace and issues that I seek to advance are related to my faith.
Absolutely. And Congressman, one of the things that we continually and constantly talk about is the importance to have people of faith stepping up to serve in elected office. What inspired you to step up and run for Congress and not just run, but once you were elected, stand firm for the things you believe?
Oh, I used to tease people. I drank some bad water when I was in China. But you never know what you're jumping into. It's a hotbed. But I like the engagement. You know, these are such important issues, the life issues and issues relative to our national security that I work on a lot. But all these matters are important for the future of this great nation. And I love America. I've benefited from this country in some way that I want to be able to make sure that at the end of my days here on earth that I've done my part to protect the freedoms and liberties that we cherish today.
And Congressman, as a member of Congress, how do you think that we ought to respond to what I would describe as the growing lack of civil discourse in our country and perhaps a culture that is becoming increasingly hostile towards family values?
Well, Jesus said to speak the truth in love. Sometimes we can speak the truth in love without love, and sometimes we just love and forget to speak the truth. So I think a person committed to these values needs to stand strong and needs to stand for principle and stand for truth. I once asked Margaret Thatcher years ago what made her the person of conviction and courage that she was. You know, they call her the Iron Lady. She said, "Robert, it's three things that my father taught me. Number one, determine the right thing to do. What is the right thing, principle thing to do in any given situation? And number two, with your whole heart, commit yourself to that objective. And number three, with all your persuasion and all your ability, seek to bring your friends, your associates to join you. So that's the leadership profile that we need to adhere to. And with that, I believe we can continue to see advances for the good of this country.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. And Congressman, what's your perception of what the body looks like on some of these issues that Christians and conservatives are passionate about, particularly on the life issue? Are you growing confident that this is an issue that will keep seeing victories?
Well, I think, yes, I do, because, sonograms did a wonderful thing. That's a baby, and you just can't write it off. And I think more and more we have the support of the American people that we're protecting a life. It isn't a thing or an object. It is a life. And I think the moral position is with us. I would clearly equate it to slavery. We're speaking on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves, and we need to continue to speak in their behalf.
Again, Congressman, I so appreciate your time today. We thank you for everything that you're doing and for introducing the No Abortion Bonds Act. I know Nebraska Family Alliance has been pleased to lend our support to your efforts.
You sure have. And I thank you for being involved with us. It really means a lot.
It's our privilege. Thank you, Congressman, for your leadership and advancing legislation that really prioritizes the value of human life.
Yes, sir.
It's always great when you can get information directly from the source, especially when it's an elected official talking about a bill that they have introduced. So it's great to have Congressman Pittenger from North Carolina on the show today explaining the No Abortion Bond Act. And I think this is really an important bill because for people, whether you are pro-life or pro-choice, the question with this legislation is really, should your tax dollars subsidize the construction of abortion clinics? As Congressman Pittenger explained, the Hyde Amendment, which passed originally in 1976, prohibits the use of federal funds to pay for abortion and abortion-related services. And I think building an abortion clinic should fall under abortion-related services, where they're actually going to perform the abortions. However, we now know that in 2012, Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, actually renovated its national headquarters using a $15 million municipal bond subsidized and backed by taxpayers. This also occurred for the construction of abortion clinics in Florida, Illinois, and Massachusetts. So again, when you look at what federal law says with the Hyde Amendment, that tax dollars cannot be used for abortion, and you look at what is happening with these government-issued bonds and providing these tax breaks to construct abortion clinics, clearly that is a loophole that's being exploited. And Congress should address that, because we know increasingly Americans believe that taxpayer money should not be used for abortion. And that's even the majority opinion for people who are pro-choice, do not support using taxpayer money. And what's so troubling about this loophole is that those bonds being used to construct abortion clinics are intended to go to things like the construction of schools, roads, and hospitals in our nation's infrastructure. And I think that few people would consider an abortion clinic to be a key component to our country's infrastructure. I think that even those who don't hold pro-life beliefs can hopefully agree or support something that is trying to end the use of federal tax-exempt bonds to subsidize abortion clinics. That is not a proper use of taxpayer funds in any sense. And closing this loophole is certainly in line with the now 40 years of bipartisan support on the Hyde Amendment in prohibiting tax dollars from going towards abortion. That's why the Family Policy Alliance and their network of over 40 state-based family policy councils, including Nebraska Family Alliance, have long supported the Hyde Amendment and now support the No Abortion Bonds Act. This bill is a natural extension of the Hyde Amendment, ensuring that families are not forced to subsidize abortion facilities. And the argument really can be made in support of this bill without even going into arguing about abortion. If you simply just look at our nation's current debt level and the already many existing actual infrastructure responsibilities, clearly providing tax-free, subsidized, low-interest bonds for building abortion clinics is not a priority that our country should have. For more information on the work of Nebraska Family Alliance and what we're doing to further create a culture of life here in our state, you can visit our website, nebraskafamilyalliance.org, where you'll find all of the latest information, resources, commentary, and tools to stay informed on the issues of family, freedom, and life, and what you can do to help make a positive difference here in our state. We received another piece of major news just last week. The United States Supreme Court announced that they will hear a case on whether California pro-lifers have to promote abortion. This is a major, not only abortion case, but First Amendment case, and whether or not faith-based pregnancy resource centers must promote abortion at their clinics. This is an absolutely critical case. Right now in California, under the threat of fines, their so-called Reproductive Freedom Accountability Comprehensive Care and Transparency Act requires medically licensed pro-life pregnancy centers to instruct women on how to receive free or low-cost access to abortion. So the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates is challenging this law. They are a group that promotes life-affirming options to women experiencing an unwanted pregnancy by supporting more than 1,400 of these pregnancy resource centers across the country, including more than 100 in California alone. And now they will have their opportunity, represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, to plead their case to the Supreme Court in what is an incredibly important case for both free speech and life. And again, pro-life or not, this should alarm all Americans who believe in free speech and freedom of conscience. The First Amendment right to free speech not only protects the right to speak and what you say, but also what you don't say, and it prevents the government from compelling speech. We don't have forced speech. But clearly, this law in California forces faith-based pregnancy resource centers to promote or speak a message that goes against their values and beliefs. And if they don't, they are hit with massive fines that would force these pregnancy resource centers to close. And that would be an incredible loss, because pregnancy resources provide such tremendous support to their communities and provide free resources such as ultrasounds, maternity care, adoption services, education, and much more to women who are pregnant. And they do all of that without any, not a penny, of government funding. In fact, a recent 2015 survey by the Charlotte Lozier Institute found that pro-choice women themselves substantially support these type of pregnancy resource centers and admire the services that they provide, as I think most all Americans do. We need these types of centers and clinics in our facilities, and it is completely unacceptable and should be found illegitimate that the government could coerce and force their speech to promote abortion. We don't force the American Lung Association to promote cigarettes and tell people where they can buy them. We don't force vegan restaurants or shops to tell customers where the nearest meat butcher shop is. So why is it that the government in California thinks that they can force pro-life organizations to promote abortion and direct people to where they can get reduced or taxpayer-subsidized or even free abortions? Regardless of one's opinions about this issue, all Americans should be concerned about forced government speech, especially at the detriment of incredibly important, compassionate care offered by pregnancy resource centers. The U.S. Supreme Court will have the opportunity now to affirm that belief and that the First Amendment protects against compelled speech. Free speech, freedom of thought, conscience rights, these things are deeply embedded, not just in our Constitution or the First Amendment, but in our nation's history. Even before we were a country, going all the way back to the Pilgrims, who, of course, will be thinking about this upcoming week as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's what the pilgrims came to the New World for and braved in pursuit of religious freedom and their ability to live and to teach and raise their children according to their beliefs. They knew exactly what it looked like and what it was like to live under a tyrannical government that did force speech and behavior and controlled the church. And that's really a part that we can't forget. We hear so much and focus on the Mayflower and the pilgrims establishing Plymouth Colony once they arrived in America. But for years, before they ever set sail on the Mayflower, they endured severe persecution because of their beliefs, for trying to reform and purify the church and have church separate from what the government was telling them how it had to be able to put their beliefs in writing and be critical of government and government officials and why they were right to pursue their beliefs. And doing those things, fighting for their religious freedom, cost them greatly. Having to leave their homes in England, many of them being jailed or even having to go into hiding while they were being pursued by the English authorities. So I hope that we all continue to remember the real story and lesson behind Thanksgiving, people seeking religious freedom from persecution. That's why one of the many things I'm thankful for is the ability to advocate for defending religious freedom and ensuring that our laws and policies celebrate and protect that cherished freedom rather than threaten it, or in many cases, just outright remove it. The First Amendment is our First Amendment for a reason, guaranteeing that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We all know it, but in those simple words, our right to live freely and practice our faith is protected. And that is our commitment at Nebraska Family Alliance, ensuring that every Nebraskan has the right to freely live according to their faith. And if you visit the Nebraska Family Alliance website at nebraskafamilyalliance.org, you will find information and resources specifically on the issue of not just religious freedom, but how you can protect your religious freedom rights if you are a student at a university campus or in one of our public schools, as well as information on the religious freedom rights of teachers and what they need to know about their rights in schools. So for more information on religious freedom and other issues to help advance family, freedom, and life, be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, join the network, become part of the movement, and help us create a state where the sanctity of human life is protected from its very beginning to its natural end. Marriages and families are strengthened and supported by public policy, and religious freedom is affirmed and celebrated. Be sure to never miss an episode and stay up to date on all the most important information coming out of the Capitol by subscribing to Capitol Connection for free by simply searching Capitol Connection in the podcast app on your phone. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director with the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.